today as we come to the table.
You need to seek satisfaction in Jesus. And when you seek satisfaction in Him, everything else is just icing on the cake. You won't be looking to your husband to satisfy you because he can't. You won't be looking for your wife to satisfy you because she can't. You won't be looking for anything to satisfy you but Jesus because He can. And that's the difference. I find it interesting. She'd had six men in her life up to this point, and suddenly Jesus shows up, and Jesus was the seventh man to enter her life. The number seven in Scripture, you know what that is? The number of completion. The Lord allowed her to exhaust the efforts of her own flesh to find satisfaction.
Gifted $1 million, do you think you'd be happy? Well, maybe for a short time, but it would be fleeting, wouldn't it? One of the tough lessons in life is learning that the more you have, the more you want. And this creates a longing for something or someone. The only problem is it's never truly satisfied. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will talk about the woman at the well. Jesus met her there and he quenched her thirst from a spiritual perspective. You know that void you have in your heart? Well, it's an emptiness that only Jesus can fill. Not money or possessions. All you really need is Jesus. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John chapter 4 as he begins his message entitled Satisfaction.
Today, again, we continue on really in some way looking at evangelism and watching Jesus evangelize this lady and then evangelize the Samaritan village. But if there's a theme for today and the way the Lord's doing it, it's really just simply this: satisfaction. Satisfaction. Now, when I say that word, we all have a thought in our mind that comes when I say that. No doubt there are many of us in this room that cannot say we're completely satisfied. Now, if you're walking as close to the Lord as you can get, then God has given you that satisfaction. And it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian or that your walk is bad if you're not totally satisfied. What it means is you're not allowing God to be that complete satisfaction for you. And what Jesus is going to share with this lady and be teaching his disciples today and through this passage is he is our satisfaction. He's the one that brings satisfaction. And so there's no other way we're going to get satisfaction. Some of you are not satisfied in your marriage. You're not satisfied at work. You're not satisfied with friendships. You're not satisfied in your situation. But the bottom line is, if all you've been doing is drinking from the worldly well and drinking what the worldly well has to offer, you're never going to be there. And see, that's where the woman was last week. She's drinking from this earthly well, if you will. And the Lord used it as a picture to say, that's not going to be satisfying. You're going to need to keep coming back to that over and over and over. And I don't have to tell any of us in this room that has lived for any length of time that when you go to the world to get satisfied, whatever that satisfaction you're seeking in the world, it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. You know, when I get tempted sometimes, you know, the enemy will try to tempt you to maybe go back to some of the old things of the world or whatever. All you have to do is stop for a minute and say, now, did that really satisfy me? Was I really happy with that? Was I really pleased with that? And so it's finding that satisfaction in the Lord. And there's no other way we're going to find it but in Jesus. And so my heart today is that we would cry out as a body for God to satisfy us and God to be the one. You know, it's interesting when you think about this woman and her desire for satisfaction. We saw last week, it's interesting to note that she had had six men in her life up to this point. Think about that. Five husbands and one she was currently living with. She had six different men in her life, and she was still not satisfied. Now, I don't know exactly all the things in her heart that she was trying to fill up, but I do know this. There is a place in our heart that nothing in this world can fill but the Lord. He's the only one that can fill it. And we can try to fill it with men or with women or with husbands or with wives or with, you know, whatever. You go down the list, things that we can try to fill it with. We're not going to be able to fill that place because only God can fill it. So the more you feed the flesh, the more you try to satisfy the flesh, the more you try to take care of whatever you're trying to take care of, it just feeds it more if you're looking to that for satisfaction. Now, I'm not saying I look to seize candy for satisfaction, but there was a time when I was in California, I went and got Tracy a box of See's candy. That's before they started coming here to the mall, right? And now they're at the mall, and they're there, and you buy it. It's real good candy. They don't put any wax in the chocolate, just good chocolate, you know? And I appreciate good chocolate, kind of a chocolate connoisseur, you know? Anyway, but anyway, I got a box of it for Tracy, and I thought, well, I'll eat a little bit. I'll go ahead and get a box for me, and I'll just, you know, eat some now and take it home. Before the day was done, I ate an entire box of See's chocolate. I kept thinking, that was really good. I'm going to get one more. That was really good. And I'd go do something. That was really good. This was at a conference. I finished an entire box of chocolates, you know, and so I really was ministering to myself. But anyway, there's nothing wrong in that. It's not that that was sinful, but the point was is that every piece of candy I went back for, it didn't satisfy. All it did was create this, I want more candy. I need more candy. And there's this thing that happens in our flesh that the more we feed it, the more it wants. Listen, this is why the drug addict, they don't start out with LSD and heroin. Talk to somebody who's hooked on drugs. They don't start off with LSD and heroin. They smoke pot. Or they do something basic at the beginning, and then the pot eventually grows into something. What happens is the pot doesn't satisfy after a while. After a while, it's kind of like, well, I've had that feeling. I've had that high. I need a little bit more, but I'd never do that, right? But then we push the edge, and we push the envelope, and push the envelope, and you see people that end up in hard drug abuse because they can't satisfy the flesh. And that's true. Name whatever area of flesh you're in, and if you're struggling in an area of flesh, you know exactly what I'm saying. Every time you feed it, it wants more. You don't feed that area of flesh and go, this will do it. This is the last time. I'm satisfied now. No, you do it, and it creates more hunger. And so we have to understand how our bodies work. We want more of what we're feeding it, and whatever we feed is what we're going to crave. That's why the flesh becomes this monster that puts people into drug abuse things or whatever. It takes over. And so understanding this is important. This is what the Lord was trying to teach this particular woman, because she was trying to satisfy something in her life, no doubt with husbands. No doubt with men, if I just get married, my husband will satisfy me. Well, he didn't. Well, now what? Well, I'll get married again. He'll satisfy me. Well, he didn't. Well, I'll get married again, and it keeps going. Listen, this could go both ways. I'm talking about a man as well. I'll marry her. Oh, that didn't satisfy. I'll marry her. That didn't satisfy. Here's the bottom line. Only Jesus satisfies. And if you're looking to your husband to satisfy you, ladies, you'll never be satisfied. Now, don't say amen. That could be embarrassing, but especially if your husband's right there. You're like, amen. Anyway, husbands, if you're looking for your wife to satisfy you, you will never be satisfied. The point is simply this. God has blessed us with husbands and wives. God has blessed us with family. God has blessed us with See's candy. But it will never satisfy. You're always going to need another box, another nuts and chews, or whatever. Again, that's my personal thing. But anyway, you need to seek satisfaction in Jesus. And when you seek satisfaction in him, everything else is just icing on the cake. You won't be looking to your husband to satisfy you because he can't. You won't be looking for your wife to satisfy you because she can't. You won't be looking for anything to satisfy you but Jesus because he can. And that's the difference. I find it interesting. She'd had six men in her life up to this point, and suddenly Jesus shows up. And Jesus was the seventh man to enter her life. The number seven in Scripture, you know what that is? The number of completion. The Lord allowed her to exhaust the efforts of her own flesh to find satisfaction, to show up at just the right time and say, now, have I got your attention? Did the well you were drinking at really satisfy? Did he really fulfill your heart? Did she really make your dreams come true? Did that job really do what you thought it would do? Was it that vehicle? Was it that, you name it, are you satisfied now? No, it's when Jesus shows up and says, it's me that you need to drink of. This is where your satisfaction is going to be found, because you're going to continue to search the flesh and seek the flesh and try to gratify the flesh if you don't let me in. But then once Jesus comes in, then the satisfaction comes. Now listen, that doesn't mean we're sometimes not happy. We have times we're not happy. We have difficult times. But when Jesus came into my life, I quit trying to fill my flesh up with the things of the world. I'm not saying that I don't, you know, still, like everyone else, have your occasional struggle or whatever, fleshly thought or whatever. That's reality. We live in these bodies. That's going to happen until we're in heaven. But I don't look to that to satisfy me because I know that it can't. I run to the well of Jesus. I drink Jesus in, drink his word in, praise him, pray to him, and then I get satisfied, and I'm satisfied in my life with him. So if you're looking for that satisfaction, wondering how you're going to get it, it's only going to be found in Jesus. And hopefully you're not on your third husband or your fourth one and you've got several more to go or your whatever. I'm just using that as an analogy, not literal marriages. Hopefully you're not so many items down the road on your fleshly endeavors until God finally says, it's isn't going to do it. It's time to run to me. And then you're going to find that satisfaction. She was now finally in a place where God had her attention. You know, and now she's been in, again, six different men. Again, it's interesting because six in Scripture is the number of the flesh. She had exhausted and maxed out her fleshly efforts. And Jesus comes riding in on the white horse, so to speak. And we take up in verse 27. Notice what happens. Remember, he just finished with her and revealed to her who he was. And it says, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? Now, this is interesting here. Again, notice they marveled that Jesus talked with a woman. And it was not that he talked with the woman. Why are you talking with the woman who's had five husbands and is living with someone? They probably wouldn't even have known that anyway. But the Holy Spirit makes a point to say, why were you talking to a woman? Remember, in that culture, you didn't talk to a woman in public. The rabbis taught you wouldn't even talk to your wife in public. It was something they didn't do. Jesus was not only talking to a woman, he was talking to a Samaritan woman. He was breaking their taboos. And this is what I love about the Lord. He breaks us out of our religious mold. Now, I don't know what it was like for you guys when you first came to the Lord, but I grew up in the religious mold. And when I came to the Lord and suddenly realized, you know what? Jesus is not like my religious mold was. It was wonderful. I was set free. I found out that you could just be who you are and not have to pretend to be somebody you're not and just love Jesus, warts and all, and still be a part of the kingdom and have good friends and family in the Lord. You don't have to play games. You don't have to be religious, so to speak. You can be real. And you can know him, and you can tell other people they can know him. All these molds that were broken. I had this mindset of what it means to be a pastor. I remember as a kid, I never really dwelled on this, but I remember thinking, I would never want to be a pastor. My dad was a pastor. So when I observed my dad, I remember thinking, I would never want to do that. He has to wear a suit every week. So my image was, if you don't wear a suit, you have to wear a suit to be a pastor. You know, that was a big stumbling block. I know that may sound funny for you, but I thought, I don't want to wear a suit every week to be a pastor. To find out that I could be a pastor and wear blue jeans, that's freeing. It breaks the mold of the culture. And it's not because I'm rebellious against the culture. It's just that I found out that I can just be Mark and love Jesus and still answer what I'm called to do and be a pastor. And there's nothing that has to be done to meet any standard before man. It's Jesus that I'm trying to please. Now, I don't want to do anything to make you guys stumble. But at the same time, I can just be who I want to be. I can be who I need to be and who I desire to be in Jesus. And so it's freeing. And so here the Lord is like, you know what? I know you guys don't talk to women in public. I know you don't talk to Samaritans. I do. The Bible doesn't say you can't do that. You're free. Talk to her. Reach her. Do these different things. And so again, this is, I think, the beginning of the teaching of the disciples, of kind of breaking them out of their old molds and showing them they just need to follow him and do what he says and what his word says. But this is interesting to me because it says when they said, you're talking with a woman, they didn't question him. They didn't say, why are you doing that? What are you doing? And that's interesting to me because here's what they had learned. Even though they didn't understand what Jesus was doing, and although Jesus may have been doing something that broke the cultural mold, the mode, and also probably the religious mode, what's interesting about this is to me is they didn't question him because they had learned by now that whatever Jesus does is always right. Whatever he does is always right, even if we don't understand it. Now, guys, this is a valuable lesson for us as believers. Some of you are going, what happened? Why did this happen? How did I find myself in this place? If you know Jesus good enough and you've walked with Jesus long enough, you will recognize one thing for sure, and that is, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's happening, but I trust him. I trust him that he's going to use even this and do an amazing work through the midst of it. I love Peter. When they were there, remember, Jesus started giving some really hard teachings from the Bible. You know, I've had times where I've shared some hard passages of Scripture. And I've had over the years, it's been very rare, but I've had people that, you know, most of the time when people get up and they'll go to the restroom or they'll go do something, it's not because they're upset necessarily with the teaching. They just need to go to the restroom or they need to do whatever the case might be. So if you ever have to get up and go to the restroom, I'm not judging you, I promise. But I had one or two times over the years, because they've let me know afterwards, people that got up and left during the service because they didn't like what that verse said. So, hey, what did that verse say? And so because the verse says something, they leave or whatever, and you find out it's because they're struggling with what the verse told them, what God said to them. Jesus didn't care. Now, again, on the earthly level, we can, oh no, you know, what happened? Jesus was sharing with them. He said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And a big chunk of the church, if you want to put it in modern day application, got up and walked out. They started leaving. And I find it interesting. The Lord didn't chase after them and say, wait, let me explain what happened. Here's really what I meant was, he said, well, here's what the word of God says. Are you able to receive it? Are you able to accept it? And they left. And after that group of people left, the Lord lets them walk away. He looks at his disciples and he looks and he says, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter speaks up and says, Lord, where would we go? You hold the words of life. Translation, I have no idea what you're doing and what's going on. And it seems a little weird. Eating flesh, drinking blood. I mean, you know, again, a lot of us might think, cult, you know, but they knew Jesus. They didn't understand he was speaking spiritually yet, but they trusted him. And they knew that whatever he said was right. And they said, you hold the words of life. We're staying right here. That's the heart we have to come to as believers. So if you are in the midst of a situation and you do not understand what's going on and you're like freaking out a little bit, relax. Jesus is not freaking out. He's on the throne and he's in total control and he knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. And he has a plan through the midst of it. And we need to learn to trust him. They had learned that. And so no matter how hard or confusing it was, Lord, they didn't question him. And notice it says, then the woman left her water pot and she went her way into the city and said to the men, note that, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now, several things to note here. First of all, notice that she left her water pot behind. Now, this is significant because water was a big deal in that day. And by the way, water's still a big deal in the Middle East. Some say that the next war that's going to happen in the Middle East region around Jerusalem will probably be based on water, the next major war. There's small wars all the time. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but the reason they say that is because they're going to be fighting over water. They try to block off the Jordan or move water a different way or whatever, and then when droughts come, you have to have water to survive. So even it was back in that day, it's the same way today. They need water. It keeps you alive. It refreshes you. It cleanses you. It cleanses your belongings, so to speak. Literally, it is life in every way. And yet after one simple taste of the spiritual water that Jesus offered, she totally dropped her bucket and left it behind. That's how powerful is that? The bottom line she realized is, now that I have Jesus, I don't have to worry about this. He'll take care of everything else. What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. God says, seek me. Seek me. I've had a couple times even this past week where I'm praying, saying, God, I need this and I need that. I'm crying out to God. And again, the scripture just comes to my heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. And oftentimes what I find myself doing is seeking all the things that need to be added while leaving off seeking the kingdom of God. And so I get it reversed and now I'm not getting all the things that I'm seeking. And if I would just stop seeking all those things, which quite frankly is a lot easier, and just seek the Lord, which is much more enjoyable, then God takes care of the rest. And so just tasting the Lord was enough. And what a picture this is of, you know what, after you taste him, that old water pot's not going to satisfy. Now guys, what is your water pot? What is it that you've been carrying around that you're trying to fill? Again, drugs, alcohol, sex, relationships, something that's not going to satisfy. When you taste of Jesus, you're going to throw it aside. You don't need that anymore. It doesn't matter. I remember before coming to the Lord again, trying to satisfy that empty place that, by the way, all of us have. And I tried most every avenue to satisfy that empty place in my heart. And it was this vicious cycle again with just never being satisfied, always needing more, and always needing even more than the last time. That whole vicious, you know, the way the flesh does. And when I met Jesus, it was like suddenly satisfied. And there's no other way it can be satisfied. She realized, you know what? I'm not going to try to fill the empty pot or the empty spot. I'm going to just seek the Lord. And it's interesting, it says here, she went to the town, and notice she says she went to the men and spoke to the men. I find that interesting because she no doubt had a reputation of not being the most moral of women. She's had five different husbands. She's living with a guy now she's not married to. No doubt her relationships with the women in town weren't that good. And so she goes to the one she knows to run to. She runs to the men and possibly felt more comfortable with the men. And notice she tells them how he revealed private things to her that no one could know but her. And the language reveals really an intensity and an excitement. When she said, could this be the Christ? It's almost like somebody going, do you think? Do you think this is really him? We've been waiting on him. We've been watching for him and here he is. Do you think this is the guy? Do you think this is the one? And so I love that because there's an excitement and there's a passion and there's a conviction in her heart. And notice what it says there when she goes and she does this passionate plea to the men, verse 30, then they went out of the city and they came to him. So they start streaming out to the Lord because this woman came in giving her testimony. And by the way, women were not listened to in that day. Remember when the women came back from the tomb and they tried to tell the disciples, he's risen. They were like, yeah, you know, you're calm down. You're, you know, hysterical. And we're not, they didn't give them that, the credence, the respect that they were due. So for her to go back and start telling all the men and then begin to respond, she obviously had a very passionate heart and a very passionate testimony. And guys, this is something, if we're going to reach people for the Lord, we need to have some passion in our heart. And I'm not talking about personality. You know, not all of you guys are going to be, have the personality that's bouncing off the walls or the bubbly personality, but some of you guys are very calm. And there's nothing wrong in that. But in your calm, let me ask you this. When you share, is there conviction? Do you really believe what you're sharing? When you talk to someone and you say, you know what, Jesus can really meet your needs. He can really set you free from what you're struggling with. Jesus can really do this. Is it just a matter of a religious thing you've heard your pastor or your culture or someone else say? Or do you really mean it with passion? God can set you free today. Do you mean that? There has to be this conviction. And when there's the conviction in your heart, it's contagious. You begin to share with people, they begin to listen. You know, over the years, I've done different types of witnessing and this kind of stuff, and I know you guys have too as well, but I look back on some of the things I've done, and I remember going to this particular event and sharing with people and moving from place to place, sharing with them, and it was simply the response. A lot of people didn't want to talk. They didn't want to listen, but some did, and they gathered around. I was able to share the gospel with them, and the reason they listened is I could tell, because this guy really believes this. Now, I wasn't trying to make them believe I believed it, but I remember what I'm saying to me. You pray like you know him. I said, I do, and you can know him too. And there's got to be that relationship. There's got to be that conviction. And when it's there, you are a living witness. When you begin to share with the Lord, I mean, people may not, they may not like it. They may not give their life to the Lord. But the bottom line is, there needs to be that conviction. And again, it's not about excitement. It's about knowing that you really know the Lord and sharing it effectively. And so they come out to the city to come out to meet him. And notice in the meantime, so all this is happening. She goes in. The people are coming out. Verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Again, powerful. Now, I don't know how long it had been since Jesus ate. They obviously were hungry. They'd already gone into town and gotten some food and come back out to bring him his lunch. So they'd already stopped by, you know, the firehouse, had their sandwich, grabbed him a sandwich, heading back out there, whatever. You know, and they're bringing the Lord his food, saying, you need to eat. You haven't eaten anything. We've been traveling a long way. It was already late in the evening when they got there, and he started sharing with the woman at the well. And yet the Lord says, you have no idea the food that I have to eat. I have different food to eat. I have food that you don't know of, so to speak. And we're going to see that Jesus is going to tell them that his food and his nourishment is to do the will of the Father, and he finds his strength in doing the will of the Father. It's interesting. Notice what he says. He goes on here. He says, verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? How does he have his strength that he's talking about? Verse 34, and Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What a powerful verse. And what a verse that I've seen God use in my life in a very real way. Notice Jesus reveals here two things that are his food and should be our food as believers as well. Number one, what is that? Doing the will of the Father. That's food number one. Number two, finishing the Father's will. Now, can you imagine considering God's will as your necessary food? Hey, am I really doing God's will today? Am I really following God today? What would God have me do? Did I even seek God this morning to say, God, what do you want me to do today?
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus' apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6, a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.